Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. We talk with some of the people who bicycle San Francisco, which as a world-class city is also fast becoming one of the planet's bike-friendliest. Home to 744,000 persons, we talked with some of those who make up the growing number of cyclists and regularly ride the Golden Gate City. It's our hope that in conjunction with the San Francisco Bike and Report Card, and soon the About San Francisco excerpt will appear in my upcoming book, How America Can Bike and Grow Rich, both of which you can find at bikeroute.com, that you will go away with a better feeling for what it's like to cycle the streets of San Francisco.
We had the honor of speaking with Chris Carlson, one of the giants of San Francisco cycling. A respected author, historian, producer, and thinker, Chris played a big part in bringing the critical mass phenomena to the world. One of his books, Critical Mass, Bicycling's Defiant Celebration, is highly regarded by all those involved in social change. To learn more about this humble mover of mountains, go to chriscarlson.com. That's chriscarlson.com. Listen as we speak with him about San Francisco cycling.
Hi, Chris. So how are you doing today, guy?
I'm alive and well here in San Francisco.
Okay, so Chris, so that our listeners can know, there's lots of types of bike riders, as you know. What type of cyclist are you? Are you a recreational guy? Are you a utilitarian cyclist? How would you describe yourself?
I'm basically a guy who rides my bike for all purposes. I don't have any other vehicles to my name at this point, and although I have access to plenty of other vehicles, but I basically ride around on a bike for everything I do, to visit my friends, going to my groceries, going to my place of employment. If I'm leaving the house, I get to work at home a lot, but when I go off to work, I get there that way as well. But basically, I use the bike for everything, and pretty much every day.
Are you car-free?
Well, it's impossible to live in a city in the United States and be car-free in the sense that you have always people picking you up and taking you places, or you might actually, I'm part of car share, so if I need a car, I go get one from one of these pods here.
So you use a car, but you don't own one?
I don't have a driveway. I don't have a car that I own. I have at least six cars that belong to friends that I can borrow when I need to. So why would I want to own one?
So how long have you been car free, Chris?
About 5 or 6 years for this time, and I've been in this mode at other times in my life as well. But during the time that I was raising my kid, I had a car for a good part of that time for schlepping around town to school and to piano lessons and, doing big shopping and all that kind of stuff. But I was real happy when I could get rid of it.
Okay, so you're there in San Francisco, a city pretty small by geographic standards. And I'm just trying to get some kind of sense for our listening population out there. About how far do you ride? Like, are your rides just a couple miles or so?
Yeah, that's pretty common. 2 or 3 miles is a very typical ride. I live in the Mission District, which anybody that knows the city knows is a nice, flatter part of the city, and it's also really warm here and compared to other parts of the city, which tend to be cold and foggy and windy. So, this is my launching pad, and I feel like I can go anywhere. I do recreational rides for just exercise up to the top of Twin Peaks and up to the top of some of the other tall hills in town just for fun, once or twice a week at least. But most of the time, my rides are very simple, errand-oriented or transportation-oriented rides that are essentially flat and fast and not very far.
So over your years of rolling the streets there in San Francisco, is there a one best bike that you ride, or have you been able to figure out what type of machine is best for the hills and all the various different gotchas and variables that are San Francisco?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe. Both of my bikes are essentially, mountain bikes, I guess, in terms of being fat tires and, the normal, 18 gears or something like that. But I pay attention to technical stuff whatsoever. I don't do the mechanics. The bike just goes. If they have any problem or anything coming up, I ask a friend of mine to take care of it, and I reciprocate with fixing things for him that I can do. But bicycling mechanics is not one of my fortes.
Well, okay, are you riding a hybrid or a mountain bike, or do you know what kind of genre?
Well, one thing that's different about my bikes is they're upright. Like, in one of them I have these huge, ape hanger handlebars. so that I'm sitting very upright with my hands up in front of me, and I like to ride around that way. I prefer you can see better and be seen better.
Okay, well, how about the mountain bike tire? Is that the tire, preferred tire of choice there in the city?
I don't know. You know, I just don't know. I guess so. It's what I have. That's what I've had for as long as I can remember. But, you know, I haven't really tried riding around anything else for a long time. I see plenty of people that do, and they don't seem to have any problem. But, you know, there's tons of broken glass in the city, and you're going to get flats here, and you're going to have, you know, various things go wrong on your bike if you're clunking around in all these potholes and curbs all the time.
Okay, Chris, let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about critical mass, something you've had a large hand in developing. It's world famous, and I'm just wondering what the popular sentiment there in San Francisco is for your, I shouldn't say your, but for the critical mass. How are people feeling about it at this day and age, nowadays?
Mostly hear people talking about how wonderful it is and what a spectacular experience it is month after month and how glad they are that it's changed their lives. So,
how about the 1997 Willie Brown crackdown of critical mass?
Well, that was a short little blip in its history, and, you know, there's been those kind of blips in many cities, but it's very significant in terms of the overall impact of it. If you look at the kind of spread of it around the planet and the number of people who actually ride their bikes month after month after month, and actually the interaction they have with all these pedestrians and bus riders and motorists, and how essentially pleasurable and exuberant and convivial it is. And you add all those every month experiences up, on, put them on one side of a scale, and then you put on the other side of the scale these little anomalous attacks by police and bad motorist behavior, et cetera, and they don't even come close to balancing. I mean, it's ridiculously heavy on the side of the great and very minor on the side of the stupid and pernicious and oppressive. So it's overall quite an totally satisfying phenomenon to this day.
Talk to me about the weather. Does the rain, for example, bother you?
No. No, rain's fun. I like rain.
How about the cold? Does it ever get too cold to ride?
No, not in San Francisco. I mean, there are days where it's cold, but you just, you know, put on your warm clothes and it's fine. Basically, everything here you go in layers, and it's kind of chilly here a lot of the time, even in the summer. So you have to be prepared with gloves and hats, essentially. That's what I find to be the key to being warm. But I don't know if I would ride if I was in Montreal in the middle of winter, or, you know, upper in the northern hemisphere where it gets really icy and cold. I think it would be daunting to get out in there in, you know, below zero temperatures with howling wind. I'd probably wait for a ride in that situation or stay home.
Okay, you talk about some of the cold they have in places like Montreal or other cities in the northern hemisphere, like perhaps in Maine or upstate New York or something like that. That's winter time. That's, you know, snow on the ground is something I guess you can expect at that time of year. However, in San Francisco, you get that kind of cold in the summer. It was Mark Twain that once said the coldest day he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. Let's talk about the fog. What part does that play in keeping you guys in frigid mode, if you will?
Well, I mean, it means a couple of different things. On one hand, fog is the automatic air conditioning that we have built into our environment here. We never suffer from that sweltering hot humidity that you get back east, and that's a great thing if you don't like that sweltering hot humidity. But most of us who live here feel like, wow, you know, it's summer. We just sweat. We need to get some humidity. So we actually end up traveling somewhere else at some point during the summer to get a taste of that. Because here in the summer, the fog is present most days. As the winters get hotter, the hot air hits the cold ocean, creates cold fog, and fog rolls in and brings with it basically windy, inclement weather is what it feels like. You know, you can be on a bike or on just walking around in the city on a given summer evening, and you can't believe how cold it is because there's this huge gray fog bank sitting on you with a lot of wind in it, too. So that wind can be really frustrating in terms of riding to the west side of the city, which I don't do living in the Mission. But when I did for many years, it's definitely demoralizing to spend, you know, night after night going home at the end of your workday and having to ride uphill into a really strong headwind that's very cold. That's not something most people look forward to. So, you know, you figure out how to deal with it one way or another.
Okay, let's talk about another San Francisco anomaly, the hills, of which the city is filled with hills. In fact, some of the hills are the steepest in North America, as high as 31.5%.
I like them, and I don't mind hills at all. But I mean, there are some that are so dauntingly steep, you pretty much can't ride straight up them unless you're incredibly athletic about it. But you know, I ride up to Twin Peaks on a weekly basis, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week, and there's a couple of stretches of that that are just extremely steep and really hard work to get up them. But I just decided I can do that, and I found a way to do it. So become adept at it. And most times, I mean, people think of the hills are like always in your way, and they really are not. I mean, most of the places you want to go in the city, you can avoid going over any steep hills. You may have a gradual climb to cross some, you know, range of hills that you just, if you want to go to someplace on the west side and you're on the east side, then yeah, you're going to have to cross some hills. And sometimes if you want to go to the north shore, you need to cross a couple of ridges going that way. But there's valleys, and you figure out the bike routes that you can ride on that are pretty easy to ride. And you know, there may be a slight incline here and there, but most of them are not that severe. And you know, once you get used to the idea of it and do it a little bit, you realize, why was I freaked out about that? That's easy. So hills are nothing. They go away really fast.
How steep are the streets you're climbing? What do you know what the percent grade is?
I just couldn't tell you. I know that I can tell you the two stretches that are pretty bad on that ride that I take is on 25th Street from I think it's Hoffman to Grand View. That block is tough. It's real deep. And then the other stretches, the last upper part of Clipper Street, are pretty darn steep. But everywhere else on that ride, it's pretty easy. There are a lot. You're still climbing a lot. You're climbing a lot of feet up, but the rest of the grades are much easier to take. But I have no idea what the percentages are. I wouldn't know how to figure it out.
How about all the different weather extremes you can experience in a day? You can go from cold and damp and foggy to sunny and warm to cool and overcast. All that can happen in a day. Do you, for example, carry a bike pack or a backpack with extra jackets and socks? Or how do you prepare for the different types of weather you gotta dress for?
No, you just bring a sweater. Yeah, that's all we're talking about is you've got some clothes on, and then you take off the thicker layers if you get warm, and you put them back on when you get cold. It's not really big, you know, maybe a windbreaker and a sweater if you're concerned about it, if you tend to get chilly. I don't. I'm kind of a furnace, so I usually just need one garment of, you know, coverage for when it's cold out, and I'm fine, so.
How about car drivers? How do they treat you there?
You can't really collectively, you can't make a generalization about it particularly because people are all specific and different. There's plenty of jerks around here on in vehicles, but been an increase in people looking over their right shoulder before they turn right to see if there's a bike coming along, and there's more people paying attention as they open their car doors than there used to be, and see a lot of people, you know, yielding to me when I come up to four-way stops and it's not really my turn, but they wait for me to go through because I've got momentum. So I've seen a real, it's certainly in the bicycle-friendly parts of town, which the Mission and the Hayes Valley and the Haight-Ashbury and places like that are, you see a much higher level of that kind of respect and cooperation. In other parts of town, just like the rest of the United States, where, you know, if you're insane for being on a bike and they think you're, you know, you should grow up and stop being a child and how could you possibly think you have a road? You should get on the sidewalk, and you know, the usual kind of ideas. So San Francisco is divided into many different areas, and the areas that are further away from the core of the somewhat transformed city, are the ways the further outer reaches are not really very transformed at all.
How about where there's less cars, like the avenues out by Golden Gate Park? Isn't that decent cycling?
Well, the peripheral avenues out there's so many it's a basically residential neighborhood, both on both sides of the park, north and south, and there's not that many thickly trafficked streets, so you always have plenty of room on the streets out there.
Are car doors a problem?
I don't think so. I don't know. It seems like that was just it's a normal part of urban bicycling is that you're on the sides of the roads between moving cars and parked cars, and people open their doors without looking. It's quite common, as far as I can tell.
How about the railroad track gotcha? Something that the cyclists have complained about in San Francisco as far back as the 1800s. Are they a problem for you?
Yeah, well, you got to hit a perpendicular. The manhole covers are just as bad or worse because they're bigger and rounder. They take up more space, and you can hit those at any number of angles and take a spill from those. I think I went down once on that, but luckily not at high speed.
What about kids? The future of cycling. Do you see many kids on bikes in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what age you're talking about. I mean, there's generally this paranoid thing going on in the United States, and San Francisco is no exception. That has led parents to no longer allow their children to get out on their own in the city. So they're all home on their, Game Boys and stupid things and watching TV. They're not really out in the streets. So kids are protected now, supposedly, from the hazards of other human beings by keeping them locked up in the house with electronics. So, they go out for rides with their parents from time to time, but you don't see a lot of little kids, under, say, 14, moving around the city on their own on a bicycle because their parents don't let them go out anymore.
I agree. That's just such a sad development, and I don't see where that's going to change until we start getting gas up to the amount of dollars that it really costs to fill your tank, to put gas in your automobile. Now, nothing's going to change until the kids and their parents start riding their bikes and start realizing how much joy there is to be had in that type of circumstance. Switching gears, you've biked all over the world. Tell us some of the cities you've seen, and why don't you begin with Boston?
Well, I never biked in Boston very much. I was in Cambridge and Somerville, but Boston seemed pretty horrible to me when I was there. But New York was wonderful, so I liked biking in New York, and I biked in Rome, and I biked in Milan, and Mexico City was a crazy place to bicycle, but I bicycled some there. And so I've been in a lot of different cities, in London, and Montreal is a great city for bicycling. Chicago's really great. So, it's just a matter of having essentially a comfort zone with yourself that you feel like I'm not going to get killed because I'm taking responsibility for my safety out here, and I'm paying attention to traffic. I know nobody sees me, and I'm not going to be treated with respect, so I've got to take care of this. And as long as you have that mentality, you can ride just about anywhere.
Okay, now going back to San Francisco, what sets it apart from all these other cities you've traveled to? What's your favorite thing, for example, about it?
Beautiful views. Yeah, it's a beautiful city full of great, gorgeous perspectives and views. And if you get up and, going up and down the hills, it's really amazing. You get these incredible vistas all the time. I really enjoy that.
Do you ever find yourself riding Golden Gate Bridge or Treasure Island, Angel Island, Golden Gate Park, all the beautiful places there are in San Francisco?
I've done all that stuff on many occasions, but it's not something I do on a regular basis. I just do it periodically when I feel like it. But it's always a great thing to ride across the Golden Gate Bridge and go up to the top of the Marin Headlands. That's something to ride.
I've heard it said that if you live there long enough, that even though it's 750,000 people, that San Francisco can almost feel small. Is that your experience of the city?
Well, I've been here for so long, it feels fairly small as a city, but it's a big city to a lot of other people I know.
Well, in wrapping up then, what do you think about a bike route from that little big city, the Paris of the West, one of the world's most famous cities, to one of the very first cities in America, to Boston, Massachusetts?
A long ride, man. Fine. I'm not against it. I think it's fine. We should definitely be able to bicycle across wherever we want to go throughout the world. It should be easy to bicycle. That's what I think.
I really wish we had time for more, and it has been really, truly great talking to you, Chris. Just, I can't say thanks enough, guy.
Right, Martin. Take care.
And may the wind always be at your back.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future, and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.